Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
This is
a Hosehead
production.
Jeffrey Dahmer soaked in blood. The Unabomber blowing up. Waco, Texas, and Heaven's Gates. Aliens modified, meant for apes. JFK shot in the head by the CIA. Bigfoot and the Mothman. Son of Sam talking to dogs again. Witches, ghosts, and goblins. Mysterious noise and hauntings. Dark arts in the skull and bones. Most celebrities are probably clones. So if you're feeling all alone, crack a beer and get stoned. I welcome you to the podcast, Strange Brew. We're here to entertain you. We're here to entertain you.
It's about to get strange. Tomcat, welcome back. How you doing?
What's going on, man? Doing pretty good. Thank you for having me back.
Yes, it's been a while. Way too long. I've been looking forward to talking with you again, and you've been looking at some different areas of history behind the dark aspects of the hidden power structure and some different methods of psychological warfare currently being used against the entire planet on some level or another. And there are a lot of layers to explore within this. And we're going to get to that, but it's been a while since you've been on. Remind the audience all about yourself, your music, your podcast, and what you got going on.
I appreciate that. I am the main host of Strange Brew Podcast. We talk about everything and anything strange. We do it with a dark humor. We talk a lot about like dark conspiracies and true crime and the paranormal, all sorts of things, kind of the same stuff you do. I have a couple co-hosts. I have one that's from Ireland. I actually do a horror podcast with him called Class Horrorcast, and we're doing fairly good. We're on the top out of 128 of film and movie podcasts in Ireland, so we're doing good on that side of the world. It's a lot of fun doing that stuff, and it kind of disconnects me from a lot of the real stuff that I talk about on my podcast, a lot of the dark and disturbing things, and we try to make light of it with dark humor. That is the best way, I think. If you're not laughing, you're crying. So especially some of the stuff that we do dive into over at Strange Brew Podcast, it gets pretty dark at times, and I've been going down a rabbit hole, and I kind of just I take a rope and lasso it around my host, and I kind of drag them behind me as we as we go through this journey. And also, if you're interested in hip hop, I've been recording music for a long time. Finally decided to put it out there on Spotify in this last year about. And it's the Raptilian. I've had many different aliases and names, but I've decided to stick with that. I've been recording music since I was like 16, 17. Finally put out a bunch of my music, just released a Lost Tapes, which was from like 2010 to 2015, which is pretty wild. And then I just released a new song called World War, which dissects kind of the stuff that I've been looking at when it comes to the idea of history being a lie and what were the wars actually fought for. So if anybody's interested, yeah, go check out The Raptilian. Should be pretty easy to find on all music platforms. I appreciate that, man.
Perfect, man. Great introduction. I'd love to get your perspective on where we're at collectively, where we're headed. It's been a little while since we talked, at least a couple of years, and my outlook on things has shifted in a much more positive direction. Looking back on the past few years, I wasn't sure if we would be heading into some sort of FEMA camp technological slave system that there was no way out of, and we'd all be forced into some sort of metaverse Wally world type of dystopian reality. But things are looking a little different, at least from my perspective. It seems like there's been a lot of collective victories on the side of humanity, and a lot of the ideologies and agendas that they're attempting to roll out to humanity are being rejected. And this is, to me, a very optimistic sign, but I'd love to get where you're at. You're in a different part of the world. So yeah. How do you see things unfolding?
Oh, man. Canada is going down a very dark path, in my opinion. Mass immigration is taking over. It's like a little India here now. And I've always said, right, like that I got nothing against anybody, but in immigration to some extent. But they have obviously targeted, in my opinion, a lot of the European countries and flooded them with immigrants. They're called the clergy plan. This is something that's been written about for a long time by specifically Zionists, and you kind of dance that line when it comes to talking about this stuff. I know your show is pretty open, but you're not supposed to be talking about this stuff that's happening, right? Immigration is okay if you want to come to a country and work and have, like, they kind of actually benefit the country. But in Canada has the highest immigration in the world right now, next to like some of the places in Europe that women don't want to leave their houses. And so in my aspect of what's going on physically, it is getting a lot worse when it comes to that. In the States, the border's wide open. This was one of the plans to, if things got bad enough, they would start flooding the Western world with third world immigrants and a lot of people from very dangerous parts of the world with low IQs. And now we see this happening every day. A migrant in Canada kills a Canadian, almost, at least assaults them. This is happening more and more often than ever. And I'm positive that now people are starting to shift and starting to notice things, because all it is about noticing things. And once enough people notice, then things start to shift. And in my opinion, there's a lot of weakness going on in Canada. There's a lot of weak people that don't want to stand up. And it would take a couple thousand strong men to really put their foot down for things to actually change. And, you know, realistically, there is more of us than them. That's why I always try to preach, is that power to the people. And no matter where you come from, eventually they're going to come for you. It doesn't matter. Right now, right, the idea is that especially on the left side, there's protected class of people, which is anybody that isn't white or straight, in my opinion. There's a protected class of people. This is happening. It's easy to tell. There's laws that have been passed. And eventually, if the pendulum swings the other way too far, it's not going to work the same for those people. It's going to go, you know, revenge style. And we don't really want that. We need to, like, collectivize as humanity, because realistically, I do believe that there is one race, the human race. But if you have different factions of whatever religion it may be coming to, and then fighting, that's not good either, because I'm not a fan of religion. I got a lot of friends that are Christians, but I see that people are starting to wake up, but I also see a lot of division a lot of people are waking up to, I think, who is probably pulling a lot of the puppet strings on the Western world and what's happening.
This is why I love having people from all over the world to give their perspectives on what's happening, because here in the U.S., we are getting a limited perspective on some of the things that are occurring. And although we may have some victories going on and see a lot of more people waking up, there seems to be a lot of work to do in your part of the world. So all we can do is continue to do what we're doing now, talking about this stuff, bringing it to awareness, because you know just as well as I do that people that don't want to hear it, they're not going to. If they're not ready to hear some of these things that we're talking about, they're going to reject it. They're going to block it out. Cognitive dissonance takes over, and the situation is worse than before it started. But if they're ready and you're already putting the information out there, all they have to do is come and give it a listen. And I think this is where it all begins, is us continue to do what we do fearlessly. And if people are interested, they will gravitate towards the information. And I have seen a lot more people become more interested in some of these things than even a couple of years ago.
I've seen
people,
like,
are starting to notice, and it's a good thing.
It's crazy. Even people I know, they're like, just like personally, you know, through family, so that they're like, you know, just watch the hockey games, or they're obsessed with sports, right? Which I think is a way of distracting people, that men will get very compassionate about their team losing, but they won't do anything when their taxes are raised and stuff like that. But they're starting to notice too, right? And we just did an episode about the Great Replacement Theory, and it got restricted on Spotify, at least for reach, like that they wouldn't push it out there as much as other episodes, for dangerous content. And if you're not allowed to ask questions, I think that's the most dangerous thing, to control people's speech. Like, recently I applied for monetization on YouTube. They rejected it and said that what we talk about is controversial and harmful to viewers. How is asking questions harmful? And that's the whole problem that we're seeing nowadays. They're trying to censor information, and they're trying to essentially control the narrative, even on certain apps, controlling what people can say. And I'm a free speech advocate more than Elon Musk is, because I don't believe him when it comes to that. And you know, the idea that you have to have open dialogue, and if you're not allowed to do that, you're not really free. And this idea, even in Canada, you have all these pro-Palestinian protests blocking infrastructure, doing all this stuff, and I know what's going on there is wrong, and I'm totally against the Zionist. I've been diving down that rabbit hole because my brain starts getting curious, and I think that I'm led towards a certain road for a reason, and to really start looking, and then I become obsessive. Even my co-host he's like, if you've listened to the show long enough, you'll know that Tomcat gets obsessed with certain things for a couple months, and he's like, right now it's the Jews. We just did this episode talking about that, and it like happens where I dive down these rabbit holes. But the thing is, they're like blocking shit, they're like, you know, there's violence, and then meanwhile, during the Freedom Convoy, they beat people in the streets, they arrest people, froze their bank accounts for peacefully protesting. This recently happened in St. John's, in I think it was in Newfoundland, where there was a fisherman protest. It's white guys, and they and again brought Stompy the horse out, and it broke somebody's rib. So as you can protest, as long as it's for their agenda and what they need to cause division. But realistically, they give you protesting and stuff like that to make you and persuade you and make you believe that you're free when you're really not. Because if you couldn't write petitions or protest, then people start to realize that they're actually enslaved more than they understand. And one thing I've been driving home to people is that you are 100% tax cattle for the political class. You are just a number to them. You are a tax slave. And it's now people are starting to notice we're one of the most taxed countries in the world, and it's getting pretty bad, man.
Yeah. But like you said, more people are paying attention. I think it's going to be a gradual snowball effect. And it seems like in Canada, it is taking a little bit longer for a lot of people to catch on. But I'm not going to give up hope on that. No. I want to go back to some of the quote-unquote dangerous topics you were mentioning earlier. And I want to start with some of the powerful groups that have been attempting to steer humanity for a very long time. And no matter what religion these people attempt to hide behind, at the end of the day, all I've ever seen is entitled, inbred, old white people trying to infiltrate every possible group that can be used to manipulate humanity. And lately, there has been a spotlight on Israel in the Israeli government, which is long overdue,
100%.
But some researchers are choosing to focus on things that could lead to more dangerous territory. And I think the focus should be on Zionism and the powerful groups and secret societies that are connected to this, and not necessarily towards the Jewish people who have no idea what is happening. And there's a lot of other dangerous conversations going on, like maybe Hitler was right and these far extreme right wing personalities that have come out lately that are, I believe, just inserted here to cause more and more division. The truth is always somewhere in the middle. And what's happening right now, especially in conspiracy culture, is we're tempted to be pushed as far right or as far left as possible so that we can't see the truth, which lies somewhere in the middle. We're just too far away from it. But what do you think, man? How do you see all this
so
unfolding?
True,
what you been looking at?
So I've been researching. I just developed this shirt. Fuck communism. So, you know, because I'm very much against the communist agenda. The idea, right, is like the left, you go too far left, it's communism where they control everything. You own no property, and that means your children, too. And it's in all their writings. It comes from the Bolsheviks. And but if you go too far right, people say it's Nazism. But what is a Nazi if you analyze it? A national socialist, right? So nationalism just means a love for your country. That is it. I'm technically a nationalist. If anybody's listening out here, if you root for your team during the Olympics, like if you're Canadian, you root for the Canadians. During the soccer team, if you root for your country, that means you're a nationalist. That means you care about your country and you want your country to win. That's a nationalist identity. So this idea, and then socialism is a form of communism. It opens the door for communism. So technically, in my view, there's communism and then more communism. That and this idea that there's a lot of people dissecting stuff that's going on. I've been reading books. I've been reading The Synagogue of Satan. I've been watching Europa, The Last Battle, commentating on it for Patreon. And I will always come at things objectively with an open mind and try to analyze what is going on. But there is a clear history that we see about who is actually controlling the world, at least the Zionist. And if you start reading into the history of this stuff, it comes from supposedly the Khazarian Mafia, if that's factual in any way, if it's not just speculation and theory, but there is a lot of evidence to back that up, that they came from where essentially Ukraine is now, and they have no connections to Israel at all. In my opinion, I think they're trying to rebuild Babylon to some extent. And if you start to research stuff that I've been writing out for an episode about the Weimar Republic, which I'm trying to make space from like certain topics, because it is a lot of information, and we also don't want to alienate our audience to go a different way just because of some of the stuff that we talk about, right? And I'm just a guy with questions, and I want them answered, and I search for the truth, and if it leads me down this weird rabbit hole where I start questioning more things and I think that people should hear this stuff, then I'm going to say it. I think that there's certain things that should be said, and if you start to understand what was happening in the Weimar Republic, it's a great reflection of who actually won the war. You know, George S. Patton did say that we defeated the wrong enemy, and then he mysteriously got killed in Germany in some car crash. I think that was the story. So there's a lot of stuff that coincides with this. And now this idea that people are like, you know, the guy with the little mustache was the good guy. And to some extent, he was the only person, as far as I've researched, that arrested a Rothschild. He wanted to push out the Rothschild banking system. There's a lot of numbers that don't add up. The idea of what happened at a certain time, you know, the United States had a concentration camp for the Japanese because the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor, probably provoked by Roosevelt, and a lot of stuff was going on with that. And he knew it was coming, I think, and it was to bring them into the war, who directly the Zionists wanted to bring the United States into the war because Britain was losing against Germany. So then they're like, you know, we need an excuse, problem, reaction, solution. You create the problem, you get the reaction invoked out of the people that you need to go in and find the solution for the problem that you created in the first place, right? So you see all this stuff starting to unfold, and then the United States gets brought into the war, and this idea of that, yeah, people were housed in essentially camps and stuff like that because they thought that some violent thing was going to happen. If there is an enemy, you would have to essentially quarantine them and put them in a certain designated spot so you know where they are. And I'm not saying that the Holocaust didn't happen. I'm not saying that. I'm saying, though, that there's numbers that don't add up. There's things that don't make sense at all. The rate of cremation that they would have to do is absurd, and actually it's not, it couldn't happen. It's impossible. I'm telling you that right now. It's impossible. So I know people died. It's warfare. Tons of people died.
Right.
But I've been reading into a lot of literature, and they admit that they want to destroy the Goyim. The clergy plan strictly came from people who are Zionists to destroy the European world. There's writings that Germany shall perish, and they wanted to essentially kill all the Germans and eradicate them. And that was way before Hitler got into power. So there's a lot of things that start to make sense and come together of, like, I posted a video on our Instagram, Strange Brew Podcast, about showing newspaper articles. I'm pretty sure that what I've seen is that this guy's grandfather collected newspapers like all the time, I think it was his grandfather, collected a bunch of different newspapers. And then you start to notice and who owned all the newspapers specifically within Germany, 78% or 70% of the newspapers were owned by Jewish people. You start to see the 6 million number in like 1913, 1903, way before Hitler ever got to power. So my thing is, like, I'm just asking questions and trying to figure out what the truth is, because I want to know the truth. So then you start, all these connections start connecting, and the idea that they came from the Khazarian Mafia, they were surrounded by Christian and Muslim nations, they had to choose a religion, so they chose Judaism, and then they kind of added their own spin in it. They're actually not Semite, technically, by the definition, it means Arabic. And then for everyone, people that read the Torah or the Old Testament, whatever, I got nothing against you, but I do think that the Talmudist Jews, if you believe in the Talmud and you read that shit, I think it's disgusting. I've read into what they say in that, and you can marry a baby girl at the age of 3. There's a lot of really disturbing shit within the Talmudic writings.
Yeah, definitely, 100%. And our history is
written by the
built
victor.
Off of it's not only that, but it's built off of propaganda.
Yeah,
both sides, of course. Both sides lead to the same entity. It's, you know, two sides of the same coin. But we look back at these major events, World War One, World War Two. Then you have things like the assassination of JFK, Vietnam War. Then you get 9/11. Right. Well, you have all these stepping stone events that give these people more power and more control as the event unfolds.
Dancing Israelis on 9/11.
That's it, man. We move forward to the 2020 big COVID operation. Now we're moving forward. It's going to be this World War III turmoil between Israel and Palestine. What could be next? Well, we're in an election year. For the United States, we have the choice of the orange man or the sleeping blunder, which is still, it's all theater, of course.
It is. But Trump is a Zionist bootlicker, man. His children are Jewish.
That's what this infuriates me more than anything. We have people that are coming to great conclusions here in the United States about the system, but they still trust the political system. Yeah. They still trust the right-left paradigm. But I want to go back to World War II propaganda, because this is so important. Growing up, man, I watched those World War II war movies. So I was so patriotic.
Saving Private Ryan is gold still.
That's it, man. And they pumped this propaganda into us to really get us in this patriotic state to where it would be impossible to question that our own government would be lying to us about these incredible victories that we've had, when it's all been controlled propaganda. And this is the hardest for the boomers and a lot of people who are still very patriotic to even take a look at.
And it's quite wild too, because I remember during COVID, I was talking to my dad, and I was like, "They're doing this on purpose, man. They set this up. This is," and he's like, "Well, why would the government do that?" And I'm like, "Why wouldn't they? It's all about more and more power. Once you have enough money, it doesn't matter. You want power, and you become narcissistic." And I believe that there is some sort of parasitic force that feeds off of these people and controls them. Because even if you come to the ideology that maybe you know, the Nazis were trying to fight for a nationalistic idea and to keep, and the crazy thing is, you can listen to Hitler's speeches now in AI, and a lot of people are starting to question all that stuff. But there's people that believe that they were hijacked, right? The reptilians, when they were contacting the Vril, there's, and I want to dive into this at Strange Brew at some point, there's beliefs that they started infiltrating the movement and who knows, possessing people. But there's definitely a lot of propaganda that was fed to us when it comes to World War II and kind of constructed our idea of what happened. Even in the Band of Brothers, coincidentally created by Steven Spielberg, a Jew that could be involved in the Red Shoe Club or the Red Shoe Society, maybe made Heather Rook out of shoes, the chick from the Poltergeist. That's a deep conspiracy.
What the fuck?
Yeah, you didn't know that?
I think I might have heard this back in the day, but
Macaulay, yeah, Culkin crazy, talks, man, about this shit, dude. And I'm well, it's dark, dude. It's very dark. And I'm gonna play a clip of supposedly Macaulay Culkin talking about this when we start diving into some of this stuff, maybe about the satanic, like, Hollywood stuff that I want to get into. Supposedly he made Heather Rook. They supposedly fucked her to death, which is disgusting. And then I think it's Rook, her last name. And because she died of these mysterious causes, this like stomach ish or whatever it was. And then supposedly he made her out of shoes. But Steven Spielberg made the Band of Brothers, and there is a part where like the Jewish guy is like he's holding a Nazi knife. It's got a swastika. He starts crying, and they all console him. And this was supposed to be set way before they liberated the concentration camps. So they're feeding in this idea. They didn't know what was happening. They had no idea. And a lot of those people didn't know until they liberated the concentration camps. And the chimney in Auschwitz was not built till 2 years after the war. So, and the giant hole, they've admitted this in, like, they've admitted this numerous times now. So it is kind of funny, because then you have Schindler's List. Who was that written by and directed by? Well, he's directed by Steven Spielberg. So you start to look at these names of, you know, Epstein, you know, Mossad Island. It wasn't Epstein's island. It was Mossad's island. So it starts to make sense when you start to dissect all of these things and who's putting out this propaganda to sway your opinion on certain things, right? And World War II is such a fascinating thing to me. My grandfather grew up in the Depression, was very, like, for the military, wanted me to join. But even at a young age, I knew that that we were fighting wars for rich men, and you know, I remember telling him, you know, 2,000 soldiers commit suicide a year, and he didn't want to hear it. So I've always had this ingrained into me to want to learn about history. And then when I started diving down, now I want to know the other side. We've been all conditioned and brainwashed to believe this side of it. I want to know the other side. And once I started down that rabbit hole, it's hard to get out of, because then you start to question, like, everything. And that's what I want to push people towards, is, like, you don't have to believe either side, but you should at least question it and have an understanding of why things happen. Because things just don't happen. There's always a motive. There's a motive for a murder. You can't just have things happen. There's always motive. So why did the Germans believe that they needed to do this? Why did they start that? And then there is a lot of documents, proof, real documents written down that said that, like, the Germans never wanted the war. They actually tried to make treaty after treaty after treaty after treaty, and they weren't going for it. Roosevelt and Churchill got into power during the war. He was a war criminal. He bombed the living shit out of Germany before they finally retaliated. They kept saying, stop, don't do that, you know, and they killed tons of people, and then finally they retaliated. So you have to understand some of the history. Like, when they actually, when they invaded Austria, they were welcomed. The Nazis were welcomed, and they actually liberated them from the Zionist-controlled power structure. Same thing with Poland. There's a lot of things that people don't know about what happened with Poland and how the Polish were influenced to, like, kill German kids. And it goes really deep, and it's really disturbing. But once you start to analyze it, war is war, and there is death on both sides. And we're not being told the truth about, like, why things happen, why this happened or that happened, right? Churchill is not.
Yeah, but
this
if you look at it, you're a anti-Semite, or you're a conspiracy theorist, or you're a Demetic domestic terrorist, something like that. So those are the terms that have been weaponized to try and deter people from even looking at some of this stuff. 100%. Now, I know you wanted to get into some of what's occurring in Hollywood, some of the occult satanic aspects, and we know from doing this long enough that the CIA and Hollywood has had the relationship since the beginning of Hollywood and have been not only sharing secrets for the purpose of propaganda and global mind control, but I believe that they are attempting to steer humanity with culture creation. And this has been going on from the beginning as well. And there's many more layers to this. But talk about what you've been looking into.
So it's funny because it seems like the Weimar Republic was definitely like a kind of test ground for like the hippie culture. And I was always like, I would love to be a hippie, man. I remember like I was tripping balls on mushrooms watching Freebird play, like, because now they have it all in HD at Woodstock. And then I remember saying to my wife, like, man, I'd love to be there. And she's like, maybe you were there. Maybe you died. Like, died there, overdosed. Like, who knows, right? Or just, like, tripping balls.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I like that idea, but it seems like very much that, you know, that communism kind of took over and some of the stuff that the Bolsheviks were kind of influencing. And then it came into this forefront of the Beatles could have, like, been essentially like a CIA Illuminati creation. There's a lot of Illuminati hand symbols that they give out constantly throughout their music. There's that cover where me and Billy, my co-host, brought up where there's like a bunch of baby parts everywhere on the cover, and like it's just very, and like meat, they have like meat, and it's supposed to be talking about the Vietnam War, but I'm like, there's something more layers to that. They were very close with Jimmy Savile. We did a 4.5-hour episode about that guy. After the third hour, I was getting into how he's a magician, and both of the co-hosts at the time were like, it's a little far-fetched. I'm like, no, he was a wizard. A cigar was a wand. Like, just making jokes, because it goes, like, really deep, right? And then the idea that the Beatles influenced this whole free love movement, right? And to, like, you don't need the nuclear family. And then it starts to go back to how the CIA is probably controlled by Mossad. And I want to make the point across, right, that, like, the fundamental ideologies of, like, okay, communism, right, if you start to look into it and have the idea of what's going on, they created feminism to destroy the nuclear family. They want to, so then, once you destroy the nuclear family and you have the mother no longer teach the child while the father is doing work or whatever it may be, then the state controls the kid and is able to brainwash them and manipulate them. So you erase, and this is all in the writings. Some of the top people in the feminist movement were all Jewish. And as much as it stood for, yes, equality, I think that it's necessary to see that there is the, you know, that men and women should be equal to some extent. You know what I mean? And that there is a fundamental difference and that you need feminine energy and you know, masculine energy to make this world. And then transgenderism, right? Which is very open in Hollywood. So many celebrities have transgender kids. That's like almost mathematically impossible. So, and then you start looking at, who's Katy Perry? There's a bunch of them. I think it's Katy Perry, but there's a bunch of them that do. And it's quite bizarre. Jamie Lee Curtis, after she had the Podesta picture behind her in on Instagram, and she had it taken down. And then so you look at that, and when the first transgender clinic was made by Dr. Hirschfeld in the Weimar Republic when it was dominated by Jewish people, and then you start to look at all this stuff, and then it all relates back to this Bolshevik idea, and then you think that the CIA, probably controlled by them, influenced society, and then they start putting in their symbolism, and at the heart of it, I do believe that a lot of the Talmudist Jews pray towards one of the Anunnaki gods, or Baal, which ends up being Baal in the end, or like Moloch in some of these, and you see the symbolism everywhere, man. There's layers to this shit. I've been reading a lot. Yeah.
There's a lot of layers. What do you think is happening with the high-level sacrifices or the individuals that are being thrown out there under the bus and being Oh, we just did really exposed.
Yeah, we just did P. Diddy, dude.
The pedophiles and the sexual degenerates that they are.
We just did P. Diddy, like a whole deep dive of P. Diddy and Nickelodeon, bro. It's like crazy because when you start to look at that stuff and analyze it and the connections and this kind of like homo magic that they do, like this Aleister Crowley, you know what I mean? Where it's like it's against God. And there's a lot of people like Mark Dice has talked about this for a long time where that they're using this because it's a smite against God and all that stuff. And they're doing these ritualistic practices and you can invoke certain entities while you're, you know, under having sex and all sorts of shit. Like, I do believe that is possible.
Portal.
Yes, yeah, literally. So, and you start to look at this. If I wanted to talk about this when we got into the Satanic Hollywood thing, is there, look at the celebrities and how many of their firstborn child died. It is, like, absurd. You got, like, there's Dr. Dre, there's a bunch of them, that their firstborn son specifically, but usually their firstborn child, died mysteriously in a weird way, and it's sacrificing, or they sacrifice the family member, and that's the idea where it's like, how are you going to show us? You have to show us that you're able to go on this journey. You have all these celebrities, even people like Schnooki from Jersey Shore, saying that she like sold her soul to the devil. And there's nothing. If you go through all these pictures, so much Illuminati imagery, the Eye of Horus, which I think connects back to like Babylonian gods and even deeper stuff that I think people don't understand. But there's definitely like they're definitely sacrificing, and I feel like it's more. There's two things going on, right? There's the idea of blackmail, like what Jeffrey Epstein was doing. He was this financier that was financing no one.
Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health. Their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com.
Realistically, if you look at his money and what was happening, you know, Ghislaine Maxwell is probably the main component and controller of that. Her father mysteriously died in a boat, also very much connected to Mossad. And so you're enforcing this perversion within society, specifically within the pop culture and the music and, you know, Beyonce, all sorts of people, Rihanna, and they can influence people, Taylor Swift, young girls to, you know, like, there's so many layers to this to influence them to like hate men, all sorts of things to kind of break apart what makes humanity like human is a father, a mother, the hierarchy of a family. And there's definitely some shady stuff going on. I think P. Diddy was a fall guy. I think it goes deeper than that. And I think they know that their house of cards is starting to crumble. So they're starting to like throw pieces out there to kind of move people in a different direction. And the P. Diddy shit goes like deep, man. He like supposedly fucked Meek Mills. And there's like a video of the security guard. And he's like by the door, like taping it. And it's like disturbing, man. And then there's like video right after supposedly this happened. And he's like, "You did good work, man. You did good work." And it's just like, oh God, dude.
So do you think that with what we're witnessing in the celebrity realms, that, well, let's, instead of going there, let's go here. So you mentioned the Red Shoe Club earlier, and I wonder at times if some of these stories are exaggerated in any way to get the conspiracy community really looked at as tinfoil hat wearing crazy people. But then there's also a lot of these stories that come out, and there is a lot of high level individuals that at times can verify some of these things, but we never get any real reliable proof of anything, and no one ever answers to any of these crimes that we ever hear about. But when we look at things like the Red Shoe Club and the really dark, disturbing child trafficking and sacrifice possibilities, how deep do you think that can go?
See, I think that, you know, truth is stranger than fiction. So even the things that we think that we know, it probably goes far darker. And I do believe there's a connection to adrenochrome. And if it really is these like parasitic entities, reptilians, whatever they may be, according to the, I'm reading Children of the Matrix, it's tough to get through. I love David Icke, but his books and the way they're written, it's a lot of stuff within like this massive book. And this idea is supposed to be to stay in this reality, right? They need the adrenochrome. It allows them to physically stay here in these bloodline families. So I think that that plays some part of it. And I'm the type of person, I've seen weird stuff in my life. I've seen crazy things. You know, I've seen proof of these entities, in my opinion, with my shadow people experience. So I do think that there's a possibility that has something to do with it. I do think, like, look how many children go missing a year, man. It's not this like coincidental thing. 84,000 children went missing at the border. Like, that's crazy. And they admitted this. That's a lot of kids, man. Even that alone on the surface of what they have admitted of like essentially like immigrant children or whatever from the whatever third world and how they end up here and all this shit. And there's a lot of coincidental things. And if they are really having these weird parties where they get them in precarious positions, you know, and that's the whole thing with Jeffrey Epstein, I think it goes way deeper than that. But like, oh yeah, this chick, yeah, she's like 18, da da da, like, you know, like have fun, whatever. And you find out she's 15 and then they get you. So imagine things that go deeper in the levels of where this goes and what Hillary Clinton's involved with in like it's the removing of the face of a children with a wiener laptop. And that is like people do not if people acknowledge that, then they have to acknowledge that their entire life is a lie, that everything that they know of is much more nefarious and scary than they will ever understand, that there is truly, truly evil in this world that has been taking over the planet and manipulating everything within our society. You know, there's really good people out there, and if there's really good people, there's really bad people. So if people start to acknowledge that there is things like Pizzagate, which a lot of people were like, ah, and that's debunked. The guy that debunked it got caught with child porn. So, like, realistically, you have to start looking at this stuff and, like, frazzle drip and all these weird, like, sayings that they have and why they scrub, like, Hillary Clinton's laptop. And so, and there's deeper connections to, like, even the Trudeau family. And it's, like, it's pretty disturbing. I do think that it goes a lot deeper than most people think. And I think that the idea of the Red Shoe Club is something that could happen. They wear these red shoes because it blends in with the blood, it's dripping on their shoes, and it's all symbolism, right? And if you've looked into a lot of Bohemian Grove stuff, like that happened. Alex Jones caught that on camera. They cremated their cares. They're like, they're burning away all their cares about the horrible things they've done in the past year. That's a real thing, even if it's just an effigy, which I believe that it's probably real in some extent. These people are like evil. And if you start to, I'm going to read this book when I'm at the college called 1666 Redemption Through Sin. This guy does great stuff on YouTube. He's like an anthropologist kind of dude, and he's fascinating because he dissects the Zionist stuff, and they believe in redemption through sin, and if you start to study the Talmudist Jews, they'll like the one practice, Kprat or whatever it's called, they will supposedly like do a ritual where they put all their sins into a chicken, and they're like projecting all their sins into a chicken, then they fucking kill the chicken and they eat it, and it's like that's a, the one of the, that the thing that they actually do, and that is fucking weird, man.
Yeah, that, I mean, really, you can look at a lot of these
religious practices.
I mean, in Christianity, all you got to go do is sit in a booth and tell some dude about your sins and then eat the body and blood of Christ and you're good. So, but that seems that it can go into some pretty dark territories, especially when you look at the reasons behind some of these. Why some of these groups participate in these
things.
That's
a cannibalistic act. That's a symbolism of cannibalism. For all the Christians out there, stuff like that, that comes specifically from the Vatican. My buddy that's a Christian, they don't do that shit. So it is a symbolism. And, you know, David Icke talks about the reptilian stuff that goes on with that. But that's definitely a weird thing, man. The energy you're putting out there when you're, you know, I don't know.
Well, no, we're in the weird waters, so we're going to go deep, man. We're going to wade deep into these waters and see how far we can go. Well, we're talking about hijacked reality.
Yeah.
And how deep can we go with this? We can go pretty far, but in my perspective, there are layers of reality, and there are aspects that have 100% been hijacked by very nefarious individuals and groups that want to hold on to power and attempt to steer humanity in certain ways. And this is done through religion and certain power structures and the isms you were talking about earlier, Zionism, communism, and it's all held together by our education and political systems, and this forms the matrix reality. And I look at the human beings that are at the top, at least the ones that we can identify and we know their names. And it's hard enough to think, well, are these guys really human? Because I can't imagine myself participating in some of the activities that I hear these guys do. But we have to look at it as we don't have proof otherwise. So we'll go with, yes, these guys are human. But you also have the ritualistic aspects that they participate in. Many of these groups definitely 100% believe in the practices that they are participating in, and there are some very dark aspects behind it. So the question is, are there intelligences that they are answering to, or at least believe that they're answering to, that could be orchestrating a lot of the direction that we're headed?
Yeah, and I do definitely think that there is people controlled, and a lot of it is like, I don't know. I think there's people that, like, say Trudeau or something like that, Biden or whatever, they don't really know what's like going on. They've been involved in some really shady shit, but they actually don't know how far this really goes. But there's the idea. I did a song called Fuck Trudeau. It actually got me a lot of attention. You know, a lot of people did like it. And I talked about, you know, sacrificing your brother for ritualistic murder. I guess we all have to pay the price, you sadistic pervert. So, and there's a weird thing of like all this sacrifice, and his mom and like him laughed about it, about his brother getting involved with this weird accident on a ski hill. And he's like, well, he shouldn't have been doing that. And it's just like, it's absurd. They're like disconnecting an unempathetic view of what happened to a family member, especially the son and a brother. And so you start to see this, and there's definitely, some sort of parasitic force. They're feeding off of our energy, whether they be reptilians or they be some sort of Anunnaki kind of entities that have existed for eons and are trying to control this reality. And according to, we just did an episode about the Anunnaki. I kind of wanted to start diving into some of that stuff. I don't know much about that, right? And you've had Billy Carson on the show. I found him fascinating, and he's blown up recently. So I was like, you know, I want to cover my bases. And this idea of that maybe it comes from all of that they created us and smited God to some extent, the one true creator maybe, and knew they would be punished, and we were created out of this weird experiment, and maybe that's who's like feeding off of us, because there's definitely like, I've felt it on mushrooms. I've always tried to test myself. Like I did it to 4 grams of mushrooms. I'm like closing my eyes, seeing 1,000 eyes and stuff like that. DMT is supposed to do this, but mushrooms did this to me. And then I'm looking through the fractals, and I'm like seeing like almost demonic faces, and I'm telling them that you have no power over me. And it's almost like I'm seeing through this reality of what things are existing beyond this. A lot of these people are just puppets, and then that feeds into that narcissistic reality. Everybody knows what it's like to feed into some of those sexual urges, maybe, and the stuff that pleasures us in a lot of ways. I've done it. Like I'm drinking a scotch and soda. I try to keep alcohol at bay all the time, but we feed into some of these things to make ourselves feel better, or bury things that are in our heads. That's why mushrooms kind of opens up that. But these people are that have no empathy and don't know what it's like to feel empathy. They're definitely being controlled by some sort of force, in my opinion. It's almost impossible to think that like these people have some good in them. Like I think that they're just put there on purpose. The scariest thing would be is that like that they're not real as we think they are. You know what I mean? That they're like not. They're just a meat suit of puppeting some sort of being puppeted by some sort of creature, which is the craziest thing. Because even diving into the reptilian stuff, Juan from the Juan on Juan podcast, we covered a kind of extensive talk about it, and the idea that they can reincarnate and they can purposely like at will, like
that's what I was just gonna bring up. Is I've had many guests and researchers that bring up the possibility that these very powerful families and groups have this secretive occult knowledge of how to reincarnate back into these rich and powerful groups or into a certain bloodline and come back into this world with a certain amount of power. And the main reason they do this is because they don't have a connection to source energy anymore. They've spent all their karma being pieces of shit in this reality. So all they can do is reincarnate back here and have power on this earth. That's why they have no interest in any other spiritual pursuits or anything that's positive. They stick to the material because they want to be in controllers of the material, really.
That's interesting, because that's kind of what we were pointing at. Because like I've talked about the reptilians numerous times. It's always something that's fascinated me since I was like a young kid. My co-host can vouch for this. He's like, I worked with him. He's like a 16-year-old dishwasher. I'm like 18 or 19. You know, this is how we formed our friendship. But I'm like, the fucking reptilians are controlling the world, man. Like even when I was really young, dude. So it's because David Icke, man. I was fucking 17 watching his like 3-hour-long videos, and it kind of just opened up my mind using the Ouija board. But it is an interesting take to think that is possible, because when we talked about it, and why I was like, I need new information, so I'm going to go look down a rabbit hole, and it kind of talked about that idea that they're obsessed with the physical realms and the either sexual gratification or negative energy gratification or whatever it might be, to consume energy that way. They've become obsessed with it, so they can't really leave this physical reality, and that's, who knows, maybe that's why they've turned into some sort of serpent creature, is because it's reflecting who they really are, right? The Alex Collier talks about this stuff too, is if that's the case. And that's just such an interesting thing to think about. Are they just, they're obsessed with it, so they're using our energy, and they are obsessed with the physical world and the pleasures they get from here. So they've figured out a way to hijack this reality. And there's probably things outside of our reality all the time that are corresponding with us that we have no clear-cut idea of where they are, who they are, what they're doing. And as the older I get, the times I think about when I was using the Ouija board, I was probably talking to something that was very much alive and not some sort of dead person walking around the planet in purgatory, which could be, that could happen to some extent. I think if people or they die instantly, they might sit in this reality for a bit and not even know they're dead, because I've heard this from psychics. Mm. But it is a weird thing to try to puzzle over and figure out what the true answer is.
It's possible that there's this entire ecosystem beyond our perception, not only of different intelligences, lower, high vibrational, but maybe even our thought forms and this egregore energy that we put out there that may take on of a life of its own because it's such a powerful or imaginative thought. If we are indeed creators in this reality and we're projecting things and based on our imagination and what we put out there, that is how our reality unfolds. Who's to say that in a way we couldn't create some of the entities and beings that we interact with on a subconscious or astral level, right?
See, and that's a crazy thought too, right? Like the idea of like Slenderman. Could we actually manifest him into real life like that? Eventually, my buddy, we always joke, he was Slenderman for the Halloween special, and he's a skinny, tall dude, right? So we always called him the Slenderman, and we were eventually going to cover it, but there's that chick that they lured that kid out and murdered him and thinking that Slenderman told them to do it. And it's like, maybe they created that inside their own minds of that it was a real thing. And then do we create some of these creatures that we know of today in folklore, in cryptozoology? And it is fascinating because we could be creating these things, these negative energies. And if you do have somebody puppeting this reality and they're influencing us in a big way in this negative world, like there's literally people chopping off their dicks and shit because they think that they're a different gender, and it's going to destroy almost their entire lives and have numerous problems. So you can get people to do that here. Like, you know how much psychic energy you're probably like drawing out of some of those people that are like have gone crazy and don't even know what reality is, and they're dressing up like furries, and I'm not disparaging them, but you know what I mean? And then so you're projecting that energy out there, and what are you creating when that's happening? And then they're able to suck off this energy from everybody in this negative force. And I've got I wouldn't say hate in me, but anger in me about some of the stuff that's going on. And I think that, you know, sometimes it can be used as a tool. Anger can be used as a tool. We should, but realistically, like this hate speech thing, we should hate evil. That's a fact. We should hate what evil and wrong things that are happening. We should hate people who abuse children. This idea that we're supposed to love everybody and accept everybody, I think, is wrong. And now we see where we could be creating this negative reality that we exist in. And this is what they've always wanted, is to consume our energy, make this weird, like we're like 100% slaves to this energy, and everyone feeds into it, and the internet almost made it worse, but then woke people up at the same time. So it's kind of like the worst thing they could have given us was the internet, because it allowed people to access information, do shows like this. And I think that it was their downfall in a lot of ways.
Well, while we're on the topic of technology, there's some interesting things that are happening in the interwebs and social media lands, especially with algorithms and artificial intelligence and the echo chambers that a lot of conspiracy culture is now caught up in. It's more and more difficult to get new people to understand these ideas because of the algorithms from their social media platforms, keeping them in this echo chamber, not showing them anything that they're not interested in or won't give them that dopamine hit. So it's difficult to get a wider audience nowadays. And they've just been flooding the internet with the craziest shit ever and trying to get people to look into things that don't serve humanity, don't serve themselves, and further away from the truth and further away from each other. So it's a very dangerous territory that we've entered in with social media and technology in general. And I think now's the time, if we could, to get our hands on this and have people that are like-minded become developers and working with AI and try and steer this technology in the right direction, because it's not going anywhere. There's no way that we'll ever be able to get rid of technology. We just have to do our own infiltration and take it back over. But where do we start with that? I have no idea. But what do you think about those aspects?
And that's interesting too, because this idea that, like, you know, people think, oh, they're going to wipe out the internet, they're going to do this. Like, I've tried to save up all my episodes on, like, it's just like a external, the hard drive, just in case, who knows, right?
Yeah.
And I don't know, like, part of me thinks, like, a lot of people are scared of that it takes one, like, sonic boom or some sort of energy weapon, and then the grid's gone. But I'm like, would they really want that? Because then people start putting down their phones and their computers, and they start to look around and
that's the end of their game, man. Yeah. That's the end of their game.
And then Project Bluebeam will come into play. They'll be like, the fucking fake alien invasion is here with all our holographic technology. And that's the craziest thing. Is like, how far does AI go realistically, right? And how does... So if we've developed AI now and it becomes this sentient being, is it already in the future and able to manipulate us in the future into the past because it's so intelligent that it can travel through the internet airwaves, because that's technically its own dimension, and able to, like, influence us now from the future when it's became a sentient, right? So, and like the idea of like the Terminator type movie, you know, which was set in like around this time era. So it is interesting that we definitely need to push things towards a certain direction. I'm a fan of this guy named Jeremy McKenzie. He's part of a group called Diagolon. It's a joke. They're the people that got the Emergency Act evoked in Canada for a right-wing nationalist group, when they were just people that were noticing things. Very outspoken man that was a veteran and saw all he was lied to about the Iraq war, and he went to Afghanistan, all this stuff, right? So one of their slogans is find others. And so I think that people, you are either awake now after COVID, or it's all, like, it's very hard to show people the truth, because there's that, you know, the KGB, you know, and the communists figured out how to do this, it would take a couple months of bombarding people with certain information to make them believe in it. And if you showed them the objective truth of what was actually going on, to the contrary of what they've been brainwashed with, they will not accept it. So we've seen this now recently where people just don't want to hear it. They plug their ears. They shut their eyes. They don't want to look at the truth of what's going on. And they're playing people off from each other. It's quite clear all the time. This Ukraine-Russia thing, there's people that love Russia and think they're the good guys. And realistically, Putin, who knows, may be against some of the stuff that's going on. But he definitely, I think, is still part of the Zionist agenda. I think that he also he sold out. So everyone wants this savior complex thing, and I hate that. Nobody's coming to save us. We are our own savior. And, you know, instead of looking for, you know, in Canada, everyone wants, like, this guy, Pierre Poilievre, to win. But meanwhile, he's like, we need more immigration. We need more of this. And then now he's like, no, we're going to stop immigration. So how do you trust these people that keep going backwards and saying one thing or another? Same with Trump. He says one thing and then another. Everyone wants him to be some sort of savior. If you want to know who the savior is, everyone needs to go look in the mirror, because it's you. If you have enough people that collectivize and come together and start realizing that, hey, we can change things together on our with ourselves, like a couple thousand strong people can change the whole world. Look what happened during the Freedom Convoy. People were just having fun dancing downtown Ottawa in hot tubs and shit. And that changed things and influenced the world. So imagine if people actually collectivized and realized there's more of us than them. There's no military, police force, or government entity that could stop that. And they're not going to bomb us all into oblivion, because then guess what? Their game is over. They have no more. We've all ascended technically to another level of reality, and they have no worker slaves anymore, you know?
Yeah.
And the scariest 100%. Thing to me is always the oh, are we just slaves in reincarnation, just constantly coming back?
You know, I consider that, and I've moved past that based on my own experiences and where I'm at in my life. And I think there is a greater force guiding humanity. I think it's our collective consciousness. I think it's source. I think we're done with this system collectively, and it's just taking more time for some to join in, more time for some to get the message. But it's coming through. There's this 100th monkey effect that is going across the planet right now.
Yeah, that's great.
But the answer, the simple answer for me at least, is personal accountability. Take care of your own life. Stop participating with the things that don't serve yourself and don't serve humanity. And quit paying attention to the things that divert your attention from taking care of shit in your life that is more important than this matrix reality. It's all about taking personal accountability. At one point, we were so immersed collectively in the matrix, we had no idea what was happening. Before 2020, we were still going out and voting and arguing daily on over red or blue. We're eating the toxic GMO foods and the poisons that they spray in the air. We're breathing it in. We're going and paying for Hollywood movies. And it wasn't until a few years ago that we got this huge collective slap in the face and started to realize maybe we shouldn't be participating with this corrupt system as much. So I have hope that that's going to continue and the personal accountability will continue. But what do you think?
Do you think I got a question for you. I'll go on a little tangent, but do you think that there is some sort of benevolent force that could be pushing humanity towards something? Because like
a billion percent.
Because yes. if there is evil and there's evil entities and beings that exist, there has to be good. And whether that be the Palladians or whatever, whoever it might be, just like these entities that you would think, I want to cover this at some point because we always cover the dark entities, and I've yet to, like, we've done the reptilians, the greys, all that stuff. The Palladians, if they are real, I know people that like send me stuff about like, check this out, and it's like this like AI, mm-hmm. like AI, like, we're coming to save you. That, and I'm like, I don't know about that, but I do believe that there is a good possibility that there, if you're ascended to such a high level that all you do is radiate love, like, say, what if Jesus existed the way we think he did, someone who was selfless, and everyone needs to look for that in themselves. Mushrooms can do that for you, they'll show mm-hmm. you that. But you do believe that there is some sort of force kind of maybe starting to push us, because I feel like I can feel it.
100%. And not only have I seen it in people that I never thought I would have seen, just this spark, people you might consider, oh, he's an NPC, but now he's looking at spiritual concepts and he's actually raging against the machine and looking at things differently.
It's hard to say, but that not now, only those vaccine pushers.
Well, they still have those folks out there. But for me, it's my personal experiences with what I've seen for myself. I did an episode recently that actually sparked a whole new show, and it was about a very profound plant medicine experience where I was shown God, Source, and downloaded a great amount of information.
What'd you take?
For me personally, shrooms, yes.
How much did you take?
A great amount of, probably about 5 grams
okay,
or so.
Yeah, that's going to get you there.
Yeah, and just from the information I received through that experience and afterwards, I just have a knowing that there is a greater benevolent force at play, and it's leading humanity and speaking to us each in our own different ways, whether it's through plant medicines or meditation or in our dreams. People are starting to get this transmission, I call it, that's coming through. And I think it's going to continue to get stronger and stronger. And this is just my personal thing, but I think we are going to be headed in the right direction collectively.
Yeah.
And we'll start to see it more.
I see that too. And realistically, I do agree with you taking responsibility for your own life. Like, I've been personally on this journey, you know, I gained a lot of weight over the years of just drinking alcohol and being a chef and drinking beer after the bar. You know, I work in a metal shop. I'm a pretty strong dude or whatever, but I've been focused on working out and then reading and trying to do different things to motivate myself. We built the garden recently. You know, our jalapenos are doing great, and we're like starting to cultivate some of that stuff. I would love chickens at some point, you know, but the wife's like, you got to take care of a garden and a kid and a dog, and then we'll talk about the chickens, because then you're feeding yourself, right? So I've really went down this path of wanting to better myself and become the best version of myself. And I'm very angry about the state of the world, especially what's happening to our country. And then obviously people are going to be starting to awaken to what's going on. And I can see that. And I do think You're right. It's about taking personal responsibility. A lot of people don't want to. They want to blame everybody else for their problems. Oh, it's this, it's that. Oh, it's, you know, like I've had black friends growing up my entire life, or the indigenous. A lot of them like to blame the past. Because my ancestors were enslaved, or this or that. And it's just like, you need to take responsibility of what you're doing in your own life. You can't expect handouts everywhere you go. You got to work hard. And do I think that we are tax cattle for the government? For 100%. A lot of people are being beaten down, pushed down, kicked down constantly, nonstop, all the time. And if people start, we're all collectively in this together. But there's definitely an attack on like the Europeans and white people in general of we're the enemy. And then it causes more and more division for everybody else and everyone else's victimhood. And that's what you see. And there's definitely a construct that's being played out within that of getting us to constantly be divided. Divide and conquer is one of the oldest tricks in the book. And they've been at it nonstop, especially recently. But you start to see people slowly start to understand what is actually happening. And that's even the stuff about, you know, apocalypse can also mean like a revealing, so to speak. So that's why I find it interesting where people are like, well, why are they allowing us to see some of the stuff to do with the Zionist and the Talmudist Jews and all that stuff. And I'm like, and they're not allowing anything. I think this is a natural progression of people starting to wake up and pay attention and look at things. And there's information out there that's been hidden and you can find it, you know, in archives in the way back machine. There's certain things you can find and they can't erase everything. They're going to try, but there's people that still have physical copies of books that we're not supposed to be reading and shit. Right. So, It's fascinating.
People don't give the power of human consciousness enough credit, and I think it's becoming more powerful by the day, the collective consciousness and where we're headed. So
I agree.
I dig it, man. Tomcat, this was awesome. Thank you,
man,
so much.
We got into a bunch of shit. I always love coming on your show.
Yeah, dude.
You have a great show. I've listened to a couple of your episodes recently. You, there's one about hip hop that I was listening to. Like you do some cool different stuff. You have a lot of different guests. It's always interesting, and I always feel it's very natural to speak with you. I think we think very much the same. If I ever one day get down to the States, I would love to like come hang out and work with you on something or do something fun.
I think
we're very much, and this is what I mean. Like, you know, find others. We're all out there. There's a lot of people out there. You know, and we got to find each other because this is what's going to really change the world, this collectivizing.
That's it. We're going to have to make our own breakaway civilizations. All right, Tomcat, this was great. We're going to do it again very soon in the future. Too long before. And until next time, everyone, have an excellent evening, and we will talk again tomorrow. And go check out Strange Brew Podcast. I'll have his links in the description.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.